Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Studio 5. I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening, and joining me on my right hand is Wilma Fingerdoo.
Good evening, Harry. Hello, everyone.
I'm your Harkness, and I'm not sitting there. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, well, I might as well pretend to enjoy it.
Don't look at me. I'm Juan Kerr, and if there are any old jokes to be used, I'm it. No, wait.
I'm Norma Snookers, and I'm not sitting there. I won't stand for it. No, wait.
Shall we move quickly onto the headlines?
Close encounters of the helpful kind.
Set vectors for sectors as Mug Chug Expedition begins.
The EGU checks into the punishment zone. Again.
Happy birthday to the Fargetmeister.
Mad monks making mischief.
There's no time to be bored with this community events.
Commander the Cleaner 80 may have discovered Tharg the Mighty's big secret, that he's skint. Yes, the scourge of the Pleiades appears to have been burning the starport at both ends and has reached the limit of his overdraft at the Bank of Zeonts. Now, you may scoff, you may think that this is no more than a fanciful item, written by a script editor who's had just one too many nibbles of their Megagin-flavoured cheese and onion-aired pasty, but no, tis true, it must be. How else can you explain Tharg's all-night towing service, which he recently offered our hapless commander when he got his SRV stuck on a barnacle? The Cleaner 80 claims that he was just driving along, minding his own business, when he somehow managed to get the barnacle wedged up his cargo scoop. We say that come Saturday night, the accident emergency departments of hospitals galaxy-wide are filled with people who have had various items wedged in places that they had no business being, thus providing employment for medical staff and much amusement at hospital staff parties when x-rays of such catastrophes are used to create games like Pin the Vacuum Hose on the Groinal Attachment. Galactic conspiracists have speculated that this episode is all a part of a Thargoid testing regime, reminiscent of our very own Voight Kampff tests, with Tharg the Mighty so worried about AI, and given his history with the Guardians, rightly so, that he tests his minions by asking them what they do when faced with a human and a scarab lying on its back in a desolate wasteland. Other more humorous pilots have speculated that it's a piece of meme-worthy social commentary on the political state of the galaxy. A barnacle scarab, a modern equivalent of the post-turtle used to describe politicians. You're driving across a planet's surface and you see a barnacle with a scarab balanced on top. He didn't get up there by himself, he doesn't belong there. You wonder who put him there, he can't get anything done while he's up there. And you just want to help the poor thing down, which of course the visiting Thargoid did. Leaving us to the other conclusion that maybe Thargoids are actually kind to politicians, which boggles the mind. Whatever the root cause, the Cleaner 80 was stuck, immobile, going nowhere fast, until Thargoid's towing service turned up and lifted the grateful commander up into the air, higher than apparently placed him gently on the ground. When asked, the Cleaner 80 was silent on the question of whether anything happened between the lifting and the placing. Was there any probing involved? Did you black out? Did your suit smell funny afterwards? And was it that entirely down to you? We may never know the full story of what happened on that lonely planet, but we suggest that if you're sitting down with the Cleaner 80, having a meal, and he starts to complain of indigestion, that you stand well back and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
In a galaxy that needs more heroes, in a spiral-armed collection of stars and planets that is definitely not named after a chocolate-covered confection. When the hour arrives, so does the commander. In an adventure that deserves the best hyperbole, the most superlativist description, and a clap given by all around him, comes Commander Chef Steve 96. We've had mugs delivered to far-flung parts of the galaxy in a time trial. We've had mugs single-handedly delivered to all stations within 50 light-years of Hutton. We've even had hordes of commanders working to deliver a mug to every place in the galaxy that has a marketplace. But up to now, we've never had a mission that brings us the best of both worlds. Well, it's actually many, many worlds, but you know what I mean. Newly anointed hotboxer Chef Steve 96 is going downhill fast. Rather, he's heading what is nominally known as south in the map of the galaxy, heading towards his start point. He's brave or foolish or both. Some say he can stare Tharg in the face and know who'll blink first. Some say that he's added a triple padded trouser area to the rear of his flight suit and has ordered the largest size bottle of anti-chafing ointment. All we know is that he's doing it with mugs. In his own words, he's heading towards my starting point for my test, the Hutton Orbital Mug Challenge, in which I plan to drop a Hutton Orbital mug in every segment of space whilst making the biggest exploration trip yet in my trusty Anaconda ISS Explorer 96. He's currently exploring the Rosetti Nebulae, that's the Rosette Sector KC-U-B3-5, roughly 200 jumps away from his starting point inside the segment Kepler's Crest. Chef Steve 96 has promised to keep us up to date with his exploits and will be sending updates and pictures as he makes his way from place to place, hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home. We're a bit worried as to what happens when he braves a trip too near Norma's arm, especially if she's wielding the pad at the time. But we're sure that she's kind to explorers.
Like an old record that's been scratched a bit and keeps skipping back to the same old tune time and time again, or that joke about the free anacondas that just won't die quietly, the EGU are at it again. Having lost countless wars, much face and their deposit, time and time again since the start of 3308, they've decided they quite like coming second. After all, there's none of that noisy razzmatazz. You don't have to run through the tape stretched across the toast rack. Well, no one's going to bend over and stick expensive metalwork around your neck, or some of those pretty flowers when you come second. There's the glorious anonymity associated with being first loser, best of the rest, the also-ran. And they're aiming for it. Just to prove a point, they've decided that losing twice at the same time just isn't loserousness enough. They're going for three. Yes, they've split their forces and have declared war in three systems all at the same time. These old chestnuts, Sugrivik and Nabatean, are of course their favourite sandpit playgrounds. But this time, they've called in their mate Patsy and started one in Andrimi. No one is being fooled here. Whilst the faction there aren't labelled with the letters E, G, and U, and the number 2, Patsy, or as she's better known, the Andrimi movement, is just as likely to end up bottom of the heap once the smashed ships are swept up and all the nameplates identified. The ever-helpful Intarius Fusion has put up Operation Breastplate 3 on the Hutton Helper. And we are encouraging all Hutton truckers to prove that once again, when it comes to endless endurance, you can't keep a good trucker down.
The Major General Noctivagus, retired, has been partying aboard the 3D-printed scale model of a Farragut again this week as he celebrates what would be, if he lived in Seoul, another revolution around the sun. Due to the rather heat-sensitive nature of his homemade Farragut, complete with sticky-back plastic, he has been banned from lighting all of the candles on his cake and has had to make do with some of those flickering LED lights instead. There are concerns that even those, when collected together in such large numbers, represent a danger to passing shipping, your retina, and of course, are likely to leave you with a bit of a tan. one of the most stalwart of Hutton truckers, the Major General, retired, has been wished many happy returns by Alvin and the admin team here at the Hot Orbital, and he's been sent some apple-flavoured beverages, a suitably moist morsel of a cake, and of course, a few gifts wrapped up with string. Zeon's Ankara blue tape and ageing joints lead to a frustrating game of pass the parcel. Unfortunately, the delivery appears to have had an accident, and the canisters are strewn around on a nearby planet close to the wreckage of the Apex delivery taxi. When told that the search and rescue services needed him to head out in his scarab and find all that salvage, as well as the occupied escape pod containing the driver, the Major General, and the BGS flashback, and a bit of a funny turn, and had to go for a lie down. Anyway, happy birthday, Nocti. Remember, age is just a number, in your case, a really big number, but with modern performance enhancers, no one would be any the wiser.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Who is going to build new weapons?
Excuse me.
Wow. No, I think it
hello. Salvation the briefing has started.
No, I'm tired of just putting a cream on it. I need a real solution.
Commander Took? Well, yeah. Thanks for sharing, Commander, I guess. Okay, Haxwing. We continue to make progress, but first, I need to address the elephant in the room. Yes, Aegis is being disbanded, but that changes nothing for us. Personally, I would have preferred a reformed Aegis under new leadership, but instead, each superpower will coordinate their own anti-Xeno operations for now. What does this change for us? Nothing. If we're honest, how long has it been since Aegis provided us with any new tech? How long has it been since we got any intelligence from Eagle Eye? How long before that it was reliable? No, Aegis hasn't been relevant in this fight for a long time. We get new tech from independent engineers and tech brokers now. AXI has been the primary coordinator of human resistance for years. No, if we're honest, Aegis has been irrelevant since the days when AX multi-cannons and flak launchers were new. We continue this fight as we have since the beginning. Independent pilots and squadrons coming together, because that's just what we do. Now, our current situation is this. We're down to 11 systems under incursion. Our current priorities are HIP-17497, Muska Dark Region PJ-P, B6-1, and Evangelus, and all three are at marginal presence. There are only two systems left in the Pleiades to clear. We are winning this fight, truckers, and we will prevail if we keep up the pressure. Use Thargoid.watch to stay up to date on system priority and status. 14 stations currently need repair supplies, with Corrigan Terminal the current delivery target for Operation Ida. See OperationIda.com for updates. Let's get back out there and mop up what remains, Haxwing. Remember, Aegis may be going, but we'll never be alone as long as we're watching each other six. Keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Haxcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Hutton continues its cracking start to 3308, and we're well on our way to acquiring a beach of a system. But more on that story later. Firstly, in the problem child class of the Hutton Kindergarten, three systems are causing Alvin some consternation and disdain this week. Whilst Barnard's star is amongst the tiresome trio, it is not this week's recipient of the wooden spoon, not even the runners-up disposable wooden spork. The top timber utensil accolade this week was received by Epsilon Eridani, which is on 37. Here the Mad Monks of Van Mana are up to their old habits and might need to be forced back onto the tonic wine to keep them in check. So much for dry January. Well, it's been almost 3 weeks, so, a decent effort, really. A warden election are locking up over a third of the influence. but they should be over in a couple of days, allowing you lovely lot to steam in and put things right. Next comes Ross 671 on 38. I'm trying to read the message that I'm binging in the corner, sorry. A warning election and lock it. Next comes Ross 671 on 38, which has seen quite some recovery in the week, almost a point today, from its nadir of 32 last week. So keep trucking that influence in, Ross 671. Lastly comes Barnard Star, which can always be reliably found languishing in the underachieving department, this week on 39. Like Epsilon Eridani, the minor factions are squabbling in a war and an election, so just like seeing someone exit Cubicle 3, I give it a good couple of days before you go in to dump your load. In Wolf 562, the war for second place was a bit of a 4-0 walkover. Do we know if the other side, Wolf 562 PLC, showed up? They did? Oh, okay, right. Well, as I said, it was probably all down to the Paladin practice pew-pew. Hutton are currently on 20% of the controlling faction. Wolf 562 Major Inc. have been pulled down into the 40s, currently 48, where they usually stay in the 50s due to them owning everything that's worth owning. So, chuckers, keep reeling them in, pump that Hutton influence, and we'll have a war for control on our hands before you can say, my, look at the size of your assets and their large pads. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have 6 systems above 60% and 1 just above 70. We are expanding again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll expand again some sunny day. Keep exercising restraint over the other systems that get out of hand, and please, please don't run missions and dump data into systems that are above 60%. And keep monitoring the usual channels for more expansion news. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, you're spoilt for choice. Boost Hutton influence in Wolf 562, Ross 671, and then Barnard Star and Epsilon Indy in a couple of days. If you want to shoot something, you could join Operation Breastplate 3 and fight for the Paladins.
With the conclusion of the long Comfy Cannon cruise, we are, at least for the moment, once again mollusk-free. There'll be no mention of mollusks in this report, that's for sure. If you hear the word mollusk, please write your complaint on a piece of paper and post it to Hutton Orbital. But do make sure you include sufficient postage, otherwise it might look like we just ignored your letter and did absolutely nothing about it. And we'd hate for you to think of us that way. The universe is infinite, and so it seems as the enthusiasm of the community to organise and take part in events with fellow commanders. This week we got updates from All the Clouds in the Sky, the Magellan Experience, the Nexus Exploration, New Year New Discoveries 3308, Celebration of Early Astronomy 4, a crate carrier service of Etna Carina, and more news on the Bandit Racing League event. Links will, all together now, be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Diluvian's expedition All the Clouds in the Sky seems to have settled into a good rhythm and is still eager for more recruits, as he explains.
Expedition Day 129, Sosong C2. Back in the bubble and docked for refueling, the crew having some fun in the taverns and a couple of personal projects that were put aside at the time of travel through the southwest quadrant. We made pretty good progress before we reached civilization again. After being in the proximity of the Cat's Eye, we subsequently visited respectively Nebulae Iris, Little Dumbbell, IC-289, Flaming Star Emission, Owl, NGC 1333, California, NGC 1514, LBN 1632, and Skull. You have to admit, quite a good progress so far. A total of 320 Zodiac jumps, 146,945.13 light years, 38 waypoints, 5 mining camps, and 30 nebula so far. As you can see, the crew and I definitely deserve a small break. Not for long, though, Commanders. Not for long. Most probably next Tuesday we will depart from Sosong and head south to start our next leg of the journey. If you think that's something you would like to be part of, you're welcome to hitch a ride. Zodiac offers most of the services, so consider bringing more than one vessel with you. If you want to check if it's worth it, check my forum thread, link posted in the chat.
The Magellan Experience can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's just hope it's scoopable. Commander Richard flew in his M has this to say. The Magellan Experience is closer by the day to its destination, with the survey of Lyra's Song being a stunning success, full of codex entries and points of interest. We are approaching the Tenebrae region, and there, fellow explorers have discovered not only the overabundance of notable stellar phenomena, mostly with shining freeze crystals, but also the darkness of the void. 14 commanders have reached the destination already. Will most find their way to Magellan Star or suffer the fate of those who didn't make it in the original Earth expedition? We will find out next week. The Nexus Exploration, the exobiology-focused long-range expedition, is in danger of running out of... They had to tick off so many things on their to-do list. Commander Omega Magellan has recovered somewhat from last week's bout of mods and has managed to let us know what they've been up to. The FC Nimrod has messaged objective and visited its three destination locations, Star 1, Manifest Destiny and Andromeda Calling, the SSA. Upon completion of the mission, the captain has spoken with the crew and they have decided to head to Colonia from their current location. It seems that Nimrod might become a deep space exploration ship forever, folks. Keep in mind we have other FCs on this initiative, FC Legacy of Dawn and the Useless, and several other partners throughout the galaxy doing operations. For example, Captain Bunk Activist, PS, a sympathiser of Thargoids, who can stand any amount of boredom, uneventful activities. Caboose Josh, PC, a loyalist of the Empire and member of Ashling's Angels, but he likes to describe himself as Ashling's brass drop man. Keeping on exploring, Commanders. 07. New Year, New Discoveries 3308, which offers armchair explorers a fleet carrier equipped trip to the core and back, is still seeing people across the starting line. Commanders Arboric and Luna Sidara tell us that they don't have any shenanigans to tell us about, but offer us this short video to give a flavour of the event. God, your ancestors back in the 21st century and earlier could only dream about visiting distant stars and planets, but that didn't stop them from imagining what they were like and naming some of them. If you join Commander Gesica's expedition, you don't have to imagine, you can see for yourself. It's not too late to join, and the Commander tells us what they've been up to so far.
Celebration of Early Astronomy 4 will be finishing our first of four legs this Saturday in the Crab Pulsar system, the main star of which is a relatively young neutron star and a remnant of the supernova SN1054. Discovered in 1968, it was the first pulsar to be connected to a supernova remnant. In the surrounding systems, we've found such lovely things as slimy brain trees, space bamboo with fronds, and even a tritium hotspot. For the second leg, we're heading in the direction of two different nebulae. First off, the Heart Soul Nebula, which is technically two different nebulae in a major star formation. The Heart Nebula got its name due to being shaped like a human heart if viewed from Earth. And the Soul Nebula is also known as the Embryo Nebula. Both Heart and Soul Nebulae have stations nearby for our explorers to drop off any data accumulated. We're also heading towards the Bubble Nebula, also known as NGC 7635, Sharpless 162, and Coldwell 11. It is an emission nebula in the constellation of Cassiopeia. If you're still looking to join, find out more information at theexpedition.info.
Commander, I am Nickman, captain of the fleet carrier FGS Glorious Waltz, brings us news of the expedition called A Crate Carrier Survey of ETA Carina. And things seem to be going well to plan, as he explains.
All has gone well. The waypoints contain stellar views and are close enough to travel to. The carriers have been useful temporary rest stops for many. Much to our surprise, the carrier at waypoint 5 dropped in close to the neutron star. It has made for wonderful views and specialized approach patterns in supercruise for explorers to safely land. The system also included stellar phenomena, a first for many of the explorers on this trip.
And finally this week, an update of the upcoming Bandit Racing League event scheduled for January 29th. Here's Commander DB Exterminator to tell us about it.
Greetings, Commanders from the Bandit Racing League. The 6 required items along with the start and finish points for this month's race are up. So study the list, plot your course, and prepare your ships. I would like to thank our sponsors, Hutton Orbital Radio and the 26th Division, for their continued support. More to come, so stay tuned, Commanders, and good luck. Incidentally, here are the race details, if you want to do your homework. The starting system is Kamui, and cargo may be collected in any order. Aruka Conventual from Shipton Orbital, Aruka. AZ Cancri Formula 42 from Fisher Station, AZ Cancri. Banky Amphibious Leather from Antonio de Andrade Vista, Banky. Buckyball Beer Mats from Rebuy Prospect, Fullerene C60. SETI Rabbits from Kofmanis Hub, 47 SETI. Doringus Truffles from Shakor Hub, Doringus. And the finish is at Medby Vela Dock.
3308 is already shaping up to be yet another great year for community-led initiatives. And if this list of people having fun has inspired you to create your own event, don't forget to email itookpart@huttonorbital.com to let us know about it.